Hello, everyone. Today's special guest is Yesenia Isidor. Yesenia is currently a cybersecurity professional, as well as a founder of the Lioness Instincts. I'm so excited to dive in, learn about her journey, and figure out what else she's up to. For everyone listening in, Yesenia, can you introduce yourself and just give a little bit of background about yourself as well?
Thank you, Stephanie. Great introduction. I'm so Yesenia, you said I'm a first generation Cuban American. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. And essentially, I'm paving the way to awaken the dormant warrior that isn't within all of us. Moving forward for a mission of protecting us in both the digital realm and our physical worlds. I have an extensive background spanning over a decade of experience in cybersecurity and software development. I hold a bachelor's degree in computer science and a master's degree in digital forensics. I've worked in various areas of cybersecurity, including security operations, research and development, software supply chain security, and open source software. Though my cybersecurity career has been successful, my career journey started as a drive-through Taco Bell cashier, working late night hours during the weekends in a college town. So you can just imagine what that was like. Then spending several years later within an IT help desk at my university, where I then eventually pivoted into the cybersecurity space. Currently, I'm actively tackling global security challenges while I've built out communities as a servant leader. I'm dedicated to fostering self-confidence, cultivating partnerships in tech space, and championing diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, as we're now including that. Beyond my contributions to providing preventive measures in our cyberspace, I train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm going to be competing in the beginning of November, so I'm excited for that. But most importantly, I lead our women's self-defense program called the Lioness Instincts. And this is where it's our mission to empower women to protect themselves in our digital and physical worlds. Not just women, it's really, you know, details for everyone. It's a very inclusive community. But mostly targeting women because of statistics. My advocacy empowers women to not only join but thrive within the tech industry by being a strong advocate for personal development, self-assurance, and I love acting as, or being rather, a cyber mentor and a big sister to all. That's a little bit about me.
Amazing. Such a powerful, inspiring intro. I think a lot of us can learn from you and take a bit of your advice through your experience that you've had in the field and then leading this to get to where you are as a founder of the Lioness Instincts. I think when you combine something that you truly love physical wise with something that you see digital is such a rare thing, and it's so powerful, then you know it is. We spoke at the beginning of the podcast and I told you I wanted to get involved with jiu-jitsu. I love Taco Bell. I've always loved Taco Bell. And I have a Taco Bell, like I could walk by my house to Taco Bell, and it's not good at the late nights when you're just hungry.
Yeah,
you speak about college. It's funny because I didn't eat that in college, but now I eat more fast food.
Yeah.
And he works there. That's cool.
That's how I survived college.
Yeah. Sponsored by Taco Bell. Yeah, at the beginning, we kind of spoke about that. And I'm all about being just healthy. And I love being physically privileged to do these things that I can do with my body. I want to start out, you have your bachelor's in, you said, computer science. How did that happen? I think I just love hearing about when you go back to your younger self, who told you to choose that? Like even being a minority woman, right? Like who led that path for you? How did you hear about it?
So a lot of it was me self-searching as a younger child. My brother and I shared a computer. And I naturally just drove to it. I found like the dark web, I guess. I figured out how to partition my hard drive and have Kali Linux on it. It's my first Linux love. I actually have it tattooed.
How old were you there?
I was like 10.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wait, let me see. How cute.
The Linux penguin. Because I've always loved penguins. And then Linux is this penguin. Mostly the reason for my love of penguins. My first Linux distribution tech company was Red Hat. And then my first love was Kali Linux. So it was Backtrack back when I used it. So I used the dragon and the heart. It's kind of
I
hard to
love
see. I
it.
gotta get shade in, but that's my
Yeah.
nerd, one of my nerd tattoos.
So cute. So cool.
We shared a computer, and we would get allocated time to it. So during my time, I was like partitioning the computer. I set Kali Linux in it. I found the dark web. I was torrenting. I was just building out drivers and figuring out how to get the Linux driver, to work with the networking. And he would jump on and play, video games. So it was between video games and that. And I kind of fell in love with doing something with computers. Come to college, high school, I joined a computer science class. I went in there and I was like the only female. So week one, I was like, and I got out of the class. So I ended up doing a bunch of other things. I went towards culinary arts for a minute. I was gonna be Anthony Bourdain was like a big inspiration for me. So rest in peace. I went into culinary path so I can be like a food critic. Figured out I didn't want to do all the classes. That's to become a chef is very rough. Very, very rough. So, left that path, learned how to cook, don't like cooking now, so it's pretty interesting. And in college, I went in, I forgot what I started with, but it was like a math major, but part of the math major was some computer science classes. So from there, I went to college, and when I transferred, it was going to be IT or computer science. And I knew learning how to code and learning how software actually worked and how it was built was going to be beneficial to me. So I went down the computer science path and got that degree. But it was really me just trying to figure out what path is going to lead me to computers and security. Like I always watch TVs and envision the hacker assassin kind of thing. So that was my like inner child vision of who I wanted to be. And I'm almost there.
That's crazy that you were 10
Yeah.
and you kind of have that story with your brother. Is it, do you just have one sibling?
I have two, an older brother and a
Okay.
younger sister. But
Oh, wow.
I also became like the family's IT and I would fix all the stuff.
Right.
I would call the ISP and like I would handle our internet. They're like,
Yeah.
"How old are you?" And I would know my parents, like all my parents' personal information. So I'd call and impersonate my mother. Like, "Oh, I'm my mother."
I did that. I always did that when I was little too, because I came the like the family IT, and then they'd come to the house, and my mom's all quiet, and they're like, "Why was she so talkative on the phone?"
I would argue with them, be like, "I need tier two. You don't know what you're
Oh, poor tier one. They're like, "No."
was like, "Stop reading the script."
I know. I've heard this already.
Yeah, but they would come to the house, and my parents just point to me, and I'm like, and they're like, "How do you know this?" I was like,
Yeah.
"I do not."
I love that. That's amazing. You were such a genius and you still are. I mean, to even have the passion for Linux and still all these years of experience, you've just always had it, and that's very admirable. I think it speaks for itself with all your experience. When you started to kind of graduate and think about essentially what job you want to have, were you set on a specific domain or type, or were you just like, oh, whatever job you get in security, or were you even thinking about cybersecurity?
I was thinking of cybersecurity. I got blessed with the opportunity that I got. A professor in my college was a professor, but also worked at a local company. And he oversaw the internship, so he recommended me to an internship. So I started as a tester, a quality assurance tester. And when I got there, I took it because I was like, okay, this is a door in. But I always wanted to do something security. I didn't know what. The universities didn't have anything security. It was just IT or computer science. And when I got there, it was pretty crazy. I like to say I social engineered my way into security because it was the intern's like space, and around the corner where the kitchen was, there was this glass door with a shower curtain that had the sign janitor's office. And back there sat the security team. So I used to wait for them to go to the bathroom and and I would start talking to them. And eventually I got an interview there. I got an internship there. And then that turned into a full time for the security operation.
That's so cool. And ever since then, you're like, I'm hooked with security. When you look back at your experience and the way you've learned as an adolescent, What advice would you have for somebody that maybe didn't start out as early as you, but still wanted to get in the field? And if they took a look at what you've done, do you think that somebody can start as an entry level similar to you? How did you, like, what would be your advice for somebody with a non-technical background as a child, kind of wanting to get into the field and doing different roles just like you at different organizations?
Yeah, first I would figure out if you want to go to the technical and non-technical route. Each of them has a plethora of different opportunities. I would also look at the market, the career market, and see which ones are available before going down that might not be necessary at this time. But if you are trying to, I like to, I don't want to say preach, but the thing I like to discuss a lot is using a digital portfolio. So when you look at someone's profile, on LinkedIn or the resume, it should be reflecting what you want them to see. So if you're trying to come in as a, let's say, a software security engineer, when I looked at your profile, yes, it should show all the efforts and the work that you've done, but tweaking the language and tweaking with truth, I'm not saying to do this in any unethical way, but making sure that when they look at it, they're seeing the soft and the hard skills or the technical skills as it relates to a software engineer. If you're not confident on your technical skills or you just don't have that much experience, one thing I love to propose is open source software. It's a great way to not only contribute to software and learn the different skills, it's also a great way to network and connect with folks in the industry that are just in these open public forums having conversations as it relates to software, as it relates to cyber, as it relates to any of the areas in tech. You have different organizations like OWASP and Open Software Initiative, there's OpenSSF, there's CNCF, Cloud Native. Depending on the area of interest, there's automotive grade Linux, that's another one. That one's more for vehicles. But depending on it, you can find open source communities and start getting connected, start having conversations with them, because a lot of times they're just trying to solve problems in the open source space, which actually consumes 70 to 80% of our software. So even if you're purchasing proprietary software, lo and behold, you're probably having 70 to 80% of that being built off of something that's open and public. So you'll be able to actually use the source code to gain those knowledge and skills in the area. So if you want to be a software tester, you can bring down the repository and start writing tests, start building it. If you want to be a UI, find a project that has a front end and start contributing to it. Start working with the community and you're going to start building those skills or start building those networks. And then not just do that, but make sure you're actually speaking your accomplishments. So whatever platform you're using, if it's LinkedIn, if it's some kind of social media, if it's your GitHub or profile, your own personal websites, TikTok, whatever it is, make sure you're kind of doing, even if it's for yourself, an accountability status report, and just showing what you've learned, what challenges you've come across, what blockers you have, and then what are your next steps. That's a good way to keep you focused and going. But most importantly, it takes 20 hours to get comfortable with the new skill. And to start feeling confident. So it's really deciding the path you want to go, taking on a project, start working on that project, and start reflecting that on who you are.
So I love that you spoke about the accountability status reports, because that's something that I've kind of been looking at myself individually is, what am I doing on the weekends? How do I better myself? What career, maybe if I wanted to change my career path, what would I want to do? You know, I think open source is something that I always talk about too. Like, most of our audience is going to be in their early career or before early career, and maybe they're in school, maybe they're looking to be a career transitioner. And I think at some point, you know, a lot of things cost money. And I think what's open to you is open source, and it's free for the most part, some of it, and it's easy to network, easy to use. Along your experience and different roles that you've had, can you talk about how you think that you would take the skills from, maybe I'll just bring up the Red Hat example, like a senior product security engineer into a principal product security engineer? Can you talk about how the process, or even if you want to talk about a different role, how do you have multiple roles in an organization? How does promotions work? How have you kind of negotiated your way into a role if you've had, and just what are some tips and techniques along the way of your career that you've learned?
I think it starts at the job offer piece. Really understanding one, the work you're coming in for, what you're getting paid for. If it's not at the level that you want, figuring out the action plans and steps to get you to that level. If it's not at the title that you want or the title level that you want, what's the next steps to get there? And even if it's not 100% of the role that you want, but maybe there is a potential role in that team for what you want, once again, how do you get there? So coming in as a senior, looking into principal, the red hat one is a particularly spectacular experience because I came in right before SolarWinds as a senior product security engineer to start helping the product teams with their supply chain security. SolarWinds hit, and from 1 month to the next, I was building and hiring a team, onboarding them while driving security initiatives. So a lot of my leadership soft skills and things that I've learned until then came into play to really offload a lot of the work that I was, train a team, have those conversations with the engineering teams, and produce innovative software solutions without impacting a lot of folks. It takes a lot to iterate through the process. But for me to come into it and try to transition from senior to principal, for example, it's conversations with my managers, making sure that they're aware of what I want. And it takes a minute for you to understand what you want, right? So really having that awareness and self-perspective of yourself to say, I belong or I am a principal. They're not seeing that I'm a principal. What am I missing to see it? And I think it goes back to accountability and speaking up to your accomplishments as well. So coming in and making sure you have your job requirements and responsibilities. You know, with your manager, you have those conversations of what does success look like and what does failure look like? And then what does it look like to get to the next level? So kind of, I don't want to say a performance plan. It's like, how do I level up, and help working with them to give you kind of the cheat codes to do it. When you do your performance reviews, I'm also one to write a lot. I write it in STAR formation, which is situation, task, action, results. But what I'll do is weekly, goes back to that status, that accountability. I will be documenting what I do every week. So when it comes down to performance review, I have it every week. It's been documented, and all I have to do is expand on it and showing how the work that I did impacted the team, the company, the product, the customers, and so forth, but also what things were driven and, you know, what was done for it and how that moves me or even connects me to that next step. So it goes a lot to like how you manage your goals and your conversations with your manager. Hopefully that was a little helpful for someone.
No, it was. It's very true. I like preach that all the time, just like you, is have a weekly report when it comes down to that performance review, whether or not your manager is writing a lot or even observing you throughout the week or month, they have other things to worry about and other people. So I always say, put yourself in front of them, find out how you can make this easier and do it yourself. Just like you said, like having that written out and just reflecting on what you've done. So very helpful. And I love that you mentioned the STAR method, because I have learned that since college and I always use that. So very helpful. Even I didn't even think about it from a manager's perspective using STAR. I've always thought of it in behavioral interviews. So that was a good perspective of what you said.
Yeah, it's like using it to communicate what you've done. I think it's a great and efficient way.
I want to learn more about the lioness instincts and how did you get started with that? If you all haven't seen Yesenia's jiu-jitsu videos or anything, she's on LinkedIn. I think you're on Instagram, maybe?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The Cyberhood of Theta, and should be able to find it with the lioness instinct.
I will put all of that and the details with the podcast. So you guys watch it, reach out to her. She's amazing. Regardless if you're interested in jujitsu, I think the Lioness Instincts has more to offer than that. So I'll let Yesenia introduce that and tell us really, you know, how you got started with that. I think everyone knows being a founder, being a self-starter is a lot of work while you're working. So props to you. And okay, I'll shut up. I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, so I've been training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 5 years. I started with somebody I was dating. And then as I was going through a toxic relationship and toxic work environment, it's really was the shining star to keep me going and give me the strength to move forward and stand up for myself and protect myself. I was coaching kids until this year. And then I started looking at, for me, it's an like that foundation. I worked a lot with COVID, with my toxic relationships, with my toxic work environments. I never felt protected on myself of having an exit strategy or you know, somewhere that if everything goes wrong, I have that cushion. So with COVID and, you know, different regulations and layoffs, I got worried and things like that. So I started this because it was a passion. I wanted an area where I can blend my two passions, which is cybersecurity, protecting our digital space and ourselves in these digital spaces, as well as protecting ourselves in the physical. And my brand name, Cyberhood Athera, that's where that was born. I started looking at a vision and figuring out how it just still bothered me. I was like, there has to be a way to blend the physical and the digital. Like, they're both defenses. Like, how are they not? I looked at other self-defense, and they just really focused on, which is very important, the physical defense, combatives, for officers, for militaries, for, you know, first responders, different ways to protect. But I found a lot of insight through my career and training that a lot of the principles and mindset things that we learn on the mats, I've used on a day-to-day on my career. Like, a lot of the resiliencies, the ability to stay calm and present when everything in the world is on fire, for security professionals, especially those in the incident response, know how quickly things can shift and how quickly, I call it headless chickens, start running around the office space because they're like, and I'm just tired from training, so I'm sitting back and just watching, and instead of freaking out, I'm trying to solve the problem. So this year I started doing self-defense classes as I traveled around speaking on various projects and different topics. A lot of it was the digital portfolio and working in the open source space. And working with my team, we came with the Lion's Instincts, because a lot of the times the individuals that would come in were mothers trying to get their daughters to be, or their kids to be protected in this crazy, crazy world that we currently live in, or someone who had gone through a situation, or someone who was about to like leave their parents and start college for the first time. This was a lot of their precautions. So with the team, we were talking and we came up with a lioness, because they work in packs. They're hunters, they protect their families, and they're scary creatures. So a lot of the times when we come in, and after a few jiu-jitsu rolls, your hair's all over the place, you look like a lion anyway. So we came with this and just working the drilling and the techniques into becoming more of an instinct. And that's where the name Lioness Instinct is to come and use that dormant warrior spirit that we have in ourselves, that lioness that's sitting in there with her crown held up high, how to pull her out and how to get her to protect us in our digital and physical worlds. So the self-defense program is, it's going to be structured around different themes. We work on stand up. We work on the ground. We work on using our voices. And we also work on protecting our spaces. Some of the students, we'll do activities where we'll have them close their eyes if they're comfortable, and we'll have somebody come and push them or pull them or do something to them, and they need to get that instinct kind of drilled and moved in. And then now for 2024, we're looking to level up ourselves and provide seminars, information, newsletters, and things like that of how to protect yourself in the digital space. So this includes when you're traveling. I've done a lot of traveling, and I've done things before I travel while I'm traveling to make sure that my presence is protected. There's also a lot of things that we can do online on cleaning up our digital footprint. I don't know about you, but I've Googled myself and had found more information that I've liked. So being able to provide folks with how to do this and how to remove your data off the sites, God forbid something happens with your kids, how to protect themselves or what are the proper authorities to contact if some things with your kids happen in the digital world. So being able to provide them that knowledge and information, I want to throw lockpicking in there too, because I think that's a fun thing with cybersecurity.
It is. I love lockpicking.
I love lockpicking. But bring it out like for educational purposes.
Right.
like bring in handcuffs, right? What if, you know, I was at DEF CON and they had one of the challenges where
it's true.
They handcuff you behind your
yep.
back
yes.
and you have 20 seconds to
oh girl that's
unlock
that's
yourself.
Literally where I learned to lockpick is at DEF CON. That was my favorite.
I love DEF CON. So it's going to be like a mixture of DEF CON and jiu-jitsu where
yeah. oh love it
we're exploring the cyberspace and giving you that space to like here's you get handcuffed. Do you know how to get out? Do you know how to pick a lock? Do you know how to clean up your digital space and get all that personal information off of you? Do you know how to blur out your home address on Google? So giving them the resources for that, and giving them that protection both or that knowledge and guidance to be protected in both digital and the physical. So that is the vision for the Lioness Instincts.
Very exciting. Do you see that being digital when offering the self-defense classes and the program, and or is that going to be in person? How will that work for the future?
So at the moment, the self-defense classes will be in person in South Florida. We are open to traveling, but a lot of the classes, all the classes are going to be recorded and posted online. They're posted right now on YouTube after some Justenia's 10-hour of video editing skills. So they're not perfect, but I edit them, and every class when I record, I post them up on YouTube.
Cool.
So they are available. Eventually, I would like to make it into a course for the physical. A lot of the digital will be more online. So that way, if somebody comes in and they're more interested in the physical piece, they're in person, they can get that. If they're interested in all of it, they can, you know, purchase those products and services. If they just want the digital, then that is another area. But that would be mostly virtual.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I think I could hear in the future the Lioness Instincts conference or like exhibit, and I would come. and you could work with DEF CON. I mean, you could have one side do security and then jiu-jitsu or self-defense. There's so many, I don't know if anyone's seen this or if you've seen this, but you probably know about it, obviously. But like as a normal average non-jiu-jitsu person, you see this on social media a lot and on YouTube is like, so-and-so saves a robbery from doing jiu-jitsu. And like yeah. you watch the video and it's like two movements. I'm like, dang, how do they do that? Like you just have to know what movements to do. And I think, like you said, it really ties back to security. Like you're thinking about your security as in your personal surrounding, you're thinking about the people around you in that space. And then how do you stay calm? Like you said, we're like chickens running with our heads off when something goes wrong in cybersecurity. As from experience, when I've been in incident response, was like, oh my gosh, like everyone's frantic, everyone's getting a role designated, but how do you stay calm in that heated moment? So I love that you brought that up, especially as a leader. Exactly. So I hope to learn soon. And I think that I can learn a lot from the videos now that I know that they're on YouTube. That's exciting. What else do you have in store for the future? You know, are you Are you going to be maybe pivoting in another career? How do you feel with the lioness instincts and what future? I know you spoke about a few of the plans that you have, but what else are you working on?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing a keynote in November
Oh,
for
nice.
AMC Scored. It's a supply chain security workshop out in Copenhagen, Denmark. So I'm hoping, I'm not hoping, I will be doing more public speaking on cybersecurity, just waiting back to hear back from several different areas.
Fun.
So that is definitely something I'm going to continue. I'm looking to see what new space and area I go and explore in, kind of jumping between automotive, AI, doing some kind of research and threat hunting. Those are just kind of the areas that have been calling me recently. So letting nature go take its course.
Right.
I'm primarily focused on a jiu-jitsu competition November 4th in Orlando. The ADCC. So once that's over, then I'll start taking the headspace to really pivot where I want to go. So stay tuned for that. But it's gonna chill down for the holidays and just drive the lioness instincts ready for 2024 and get the community ready to roar.
That's beautiful. Are you nervous for your first competition? How do you feel?
So it's not my first.
Oh, I thought it was your first. Sorry.
No, you're good. It's my first in over a year. I've competed a few times.
Wow.
The first time was a disaster. I cried the whole way there, and then I didn't even
Oh.
make weight. So
Oh.
I couldn't compete. My first official one where I was actually on the mat. I had like 4 rounds, and each of them I blacked out. So
Oh
they're
my
under a minute.
gosh.
It's all fun. It's all lessons.
Yeah. Oh, blacking out scares me.
So not blacked out, but like, you know, when your brain just doesn't work and you're
Oh,
like,
okay. I was
I
like, you
don't
got
know
a
what to do.
concussion blackout?
No, like I just froze. I was moving, but
Like
like
your brain just stopped for a minute.
my brain's like, I don't know
Right.
what you want me to do. And these girls are like they're scary. And then the last competition was for a charity, for a cancer donation. I have an arch nemesis, so I was able to compete with her. Lost by points. And then the fun thing about competitions is there's also the psychological. So my lesson learned from that one was the psychological, like mess arounds.
Yeah.
Make sure that you get your own information. But the girl that I had gone with was giving me like wrong information, telling me it was only her, me. All excuses on my end. I should have been up and ready. But those things you don't pick on. At least I
So,
was
what do
not.
you mean when she says it was just her and you? You had to compete with other people?
Yeah, so I thought it was just her and me in our weight class, and as I got off the mat, I'm literally taking off my gear, like ready to go home and ready to
Yeah.
eat. And they're like, "Where are you going? You have like one more left." And I was like, "What?" So when I got on the mat,
Wow.
mentally I was done, like checked out.
Wow. Yeah.
So there's always that was my lesson learned was and she kept telling me the different wrong time. She's like, "Oh, we're gonna go in by like 3 hours. Don't worry, relax." But she's over there warming up, and I'm like, you trying to be
Wow.
tricky?"
Oh my gosh. And then you just had to do it. You just had to get ready and just, you didn't really have to have time. You just had to do it.
I just had to throw it back on and get back in. That's it.
Wow, that's scary. I think competing in anything, I give so many props to people because I get so nervous to even go in front of a room of 10 people and speak.
So
And then it's
I
like, ugh.
compete for my public speaking
Oh
fear.
wow, for confidence.
For confidence, you're being stared at in both situations.
That's true.
They're waiting for you to up, you
Yeah.
know.
I do want to get into so like I'm such a like I love picking up new hobbies. Like I've done boxing.
Boxing's
I try to
fun.
get into like aerial yoga,
That one's
hot
fun.
Pilates.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, if you haven't worked out for like months, that would feel really good to just get it out, but that's it's tiring. But yeah, boxing's fun. Yeah, I've never done any, like my brother used to do wrestling his whole life, so that was cool to see him do it, and he would teach me things. So that was like my growing up self-defense coach always. It's just me and my brother. He's 3 years older, and like he was into WWE and would literally do the moves on me, and so I would just learn, and now he's like teaching me how to handle things. So it's good that I have that, but I want to do like a professional class.
Yeah, my brother and I definitely used to wrestle a lot because of WWE. But yeah, I would see some correlation between my confidence on getting on the stage, mm-hmm. like that fear and anxiety. I would just, it was interesting. Something that somebody had told me last week. Yeah, it was last week. Was when you want to level up a certain area in your life, you got to level up your fitness, because then it kind of goes both ways. So I would compete, and when I would compete, I would feel more confident to go on the stage, because I was like, you can go on YouTube, my competition videos are there, so people have seen it, whatever, it happens. For me, I'm probably more embarrassed on what would happen on the mats than, you know, on the stage at this point.
Right. I see that. No, I believe that. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you look good. So I think it speaks tremendously that you're doing these speaking engagements about your professional security life, and even maybe speaking about jiu-jitsu if you have other speaking engagements that, you know, need that. I think it's powerful. What advice would you have if somebody were wanting to get into public speaking for cybersecurity? I know that sometimes you have to write a paper and apply for these things and, you know, have experience as well. I think like most bigger conferences, maybe not the local or smaller ones, might not require you to have a lot of experience, but I know that some do. What advice would you have around that?
So there's a few ways to approach it. Is one, you can, thanks to the digital space that we live in, you can create your own kind of conference and just get together with your friends that want to practice like their own talk and say, hey, on Saturday, we're going to have, you know, this virtual summit. It's free to anybody that wants to join. And you just advertise it, market it. And even if it's just all your friends, you know, all the speakers, and, you know, each person takes an opportunity, you're still getting it out there. You're still recording it. It's still a conversation you've had in public. That's the start. When you're ready to move on to the next is, for all of these, have one to three different areas of topics that you want to talk on. One should be a technical topic, one should be maybe a leadership and then hard skill, and then or soft skill, leadership or soft skill, and then one should probably be a side passion. I also love Legos, so if I can, whenever I do presentations, I throw Lego memes in them or like nerd stuff in there. One of my presentation on digital portfolio is on Guardians and Galaxy, and then I have a whole outfit and I have plushies that go with me. So nerd out, be you, be authentic. But then you can start, once you start having a specific topic, go on to these conferences that you want to go to, find local ones, find DEI ones, find maybe some that are just starting up and they're trying to find speakers, and submit it, and then even ask for feedback. Look at the other speakers and other presentations. If it's one that's been continuously, look at previous years and then see what people talk about and how they present it, because that's one thing. I usually just copy and paste my CFP, which is call for proposal, whatever. They call it, everyone has it something different. I submitted it for DEF CON, and when I looked at DEF CON's, like, the way they presented theirs, I was like, oh, this would never, of course this has never got in, because it doesn't match like the audience and how they want to present it. So that's one way to look at it. And then, yeah, once you get into the more higher, more advanced conferences, research, white papers, or huge, like at least for the security space, like huge impact. If you want to do DEF CON, it definitely has to be like a research, something that you found, something you accomplished, something very technical. If you want to go speak at, you know, Latinas in Tech conference, or Grace Hopper, you can be more leadership, more soft skill, more fun and activity, more how to get people in. So really understanding where you want to go, and maybe the soft skills might be a little bit easier for you to start. Your technical ones could even just be status reports like, hey, this quarter, this is what I did. And you can just record yourself, post it on YouTube, and then publish it on LinkedIn. And you can make it like, hey, this is my talk. At the end of the day, they don't know how many people saw it, but I'm going to say that very low. So, it's just the more content you get out there, the more comfortable you'll feel about it, and the more you'll tweak it and adapt it for the said audience.
Yeah, that's good. Like, put yourself out there. I think even just gathering friends and having an open Zoom or a call, recording it and then putting it out. You're so right. It's like a DIY conference. And I think that's good advice for beginners that want to get involved. And even the ones that speak at their local schools or local companies, it's yeah, kind of like a step up to where now you can publish it and have it more public. So exciting. So many things going on with you. And it's so peaceful at the same time to know that you're just doing your passion a lot. Like I love hearing about just people having different passions outside of their jobs, because I've always been preaching it and saying and repeating myself of that you have to find a balance. You have to find, yeah, something out of your job. I like, stop normalizing being on the grind and like working these hours and not getting any sleep. So, you know, like that's something that I've really came to conclusion with myself, is just being in this field and starting out very young and hungry, and then kind of getting not abused, but just like very losing yourself in a way,
yeah,
because you're working. I blame it on incident response, but
don't we all?
I know, it's like when somebody asked me about that, I was like, don't, why would you even want, like, why did I do that? Like, why would you even want to get into it?
It's a great field. Like, it really is.
Yeah, I love it is. We
it's
need
a
it.
Fun, challenging field. You're going to see the weirdest and wildest.
It's fun, but it's so fun. I mean,
it's fun.
I sometimes miss it. Like, it's a toxic thing. It's like, I sometimes miss it.
I mean, when I look for a new, I'm like, should I just go back to this? This was fun. You feel, I would feel like a superhero behind like Batman's like screen.
Right.
Like, ooh, what is Robin doing now? You know?
No, you really do feel like a digital superhero. Like, you're flying around and you're looking for these things, and then you find it and no one knows what you look like. So it's bittersweet. I'd say it's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet, but it affects the sleep.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Your whole life, basically. But it's okay. It's okay. Yesenia, thank you for being on the podcast. Is there anything else you want to say? Any last minute words or advice or anything, or an outro?
Yeah, just on our previous little conversation, early in my career, I came into the realization that as much as I'm replaceable, so is a company. So I
That's
usually
true.
recommend folks not to tie their identity to a company. Tie their identity to who you are, what you're passionate about. You know how many people I get that just connect with me because I either have Legos or jujitsu, and they're like, oh my god, you do jujitsu, I'm gonna follow you. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, or they're like, oh, you got Legos? And like, I have folks that I talk to that all we do is send the latest box of Legos that we bought.
I love that.
And it's a way to connect with people, just
yeah,
being your authentic self. So be your authentic
very true.
Self, find your passion, balance this life, because it's crazy and it's a roller coaster, but it's a lovely marathon.
I love it. Good advice. Thank you so much for being on. And for everyone tuning in, I will link all of Yesenia's information so you can get in touch with her, follow her, and check out the Lioness Instincts. Thank you.
Thank you.